Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. I got my co-host, Dr. Carl Nadolski Jr., and we got a special guest here. Mister, is a doctor yet?
Doesn't matter.
Dante Burks.
Dante Burks.
Welcome to the show. Today we're going to be talking about one of our favorite things, which is lifting weights, but exercising in general in children, which is something we've been passionate about. My brother and I have a YouTube video out there. We've talked about it before, of us working out when we were young. My brother had abs in utero. And then you can see he's pretty jacked as like a fifth grader or something like that. I don't remember how old he is, but
yeah. And that kind of comes around to why Dante is someone I wanted to have on this podcast. So, just a quick little nugget about Dante. And then I want him to tell his story, but so you played football, went to high school in our neck of the woods, Whitehall High School, and they're really good in the Muskegon area. Yep. Went on to play football at Wayne State, which is a D2 school. And then you ended up, but you transferred to Alma and graduated from there?
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And then he graduated with an exercise physiology degree. He's certified through the NASM, even has CrossFit Level 1 certification, and does a lot of coaching for football. Right now he's working with Central Michigan football and one of the local high schools up there. And I met him because We recently had a whole new change in our high school's football coaching program. Our new high school football coach was he a grad assistant, Spencer, when you were in high school? Right after I graduated, Coach Pat Collins was around.
He was our safety coach. He was our DB coach. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we should probably get him on the podcast sometime and have some fun. But he's an awesome guy, brings great positivity to our area. You know, the kids are excited. And this past summer, we don't have to get into the weeds of the geography and logistics of what happened, Dante, but the plan was to have Dante come on and be one of our coaches and also help out with our strength program. And when you get to see a picture of him, you'll know why. Is a freaking stud. And so I was all excited, of course, because I'm just, you know, I love that stuff. And obviously I have a 10-year-old son who's into wrestling and football and stuff. And so I just happened to, it was during our football camp, right? When I saw you, I was like, that's got to be that guy. And I went over, we walked back to the weight room and he was doing a great job of helping some of the high school kids lift weights. And I was just up there doing a little bit. And then what happened was they had a few weeks of like a kid's strength training camp, essentially. Mm-hmm. So of course my 10-year-old son, who's already a little bit of a little meathead, got to go and do it. And then they asked you to do, was it just 1 week or something? Just out of,
It was that week that I, you know, had your,
Kind of when you were transitioning out. Yeah.
Yep.
And so, you know, Spencer knows Trey, my 10-year-old, and you know, he's a smart kid, likes to work out with everybody other than me to some degree, but he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's like young Sheldon on the show. He will give it to anybody straight. And so if he is excited and happy about something, he'll let you know. And if it's not, if he's not, whatever, he doesn't say anything, but if something's wrong, he'll let you know too. He doesn't care. Mm-hmm. And when, after he got done working out with you, he was all excited. And I think I told you that he was like, oh my God, first of all, I don't know many guys that have bigger muscles than you, but Coach Dante does. And I was like, well, what the hell, man? And then, he's like, he's awesome. I mean, he was just so pumped up. And so he doesn't realize this exactly yet. Someday I'll tell him, but like, I really trust his impression. Cause it's always good.
It's genuine. Yeah.
Cause it's so genuine. And so I was like, I was so happy. And then of course I was so disappointed that you had to go, and this just had to do with geographical logistics. You know, sometimes things don't work out, but then we grew up lifting weights, and I was a little guy like Trey, but I was all into lifting weights with my dad. Spencer kind of followed along after us. Of course, he ended up being tall. I'm short. So naturally throughout my whole life, people are like, oh, lifting weights made you short. I'm like, no, I was short anyways, whatever. Oh my God. So there've been all these myths. But as the docs who lift and we deal with all these, you know, really diseases that could be at least somewhat mitigated if people would work out when they're little kids all the way through life, we absolutely are advocates of it. And there just happened to be some publications recently that I told you about before that we started. Just recently, the thing that got me excited was the British Journal of Sports Medicine. They published this thing on an infographic on the mythology of youth resistance training. The myth that it stunts your bone growth. There's no data to support that it's only for athletes. Obviously, we're going to talk about sports and stuff, but it's not just for athletes. In fact, that's why we push it, right?
Yep.
And, you know, talking about waiting till you're 12 years old, that has nothing to do with anything. That anybody can think of that. That girls get bulky. Oh, my God. That doesn't happen, right? And that it's unsafe for youth. So those are all myths. We want everyone to work out. And we just wanted to learn a little bit more about your experience and how you go about it. Because you obviously do a great job with the little kids, but you also take care of the adolescents, playing football, other sports, and college athletes. The whole spectrum from little bitty kids to adolescents. So just, tell us a little bit about your story, man.
How young? How young are the kids that you're working with and whatever?
Yeah, so, first of all, my backstory was I actually was not into lifting growing up. I was very pudgy, overweight. My family, I mean, we just ate, you know, and what got me into lifting actually was my cousins. So they were more, they were more into the, they wanted to be fit. So they were like, you know, but we didn't have the resources. So we created makeshift benches out of our couch, some broomsticks, different, you know, whatever we could find to lift, we lifted. Cinder blocks. And I dreaded it. I hated it. I'm like, bro, this is dumb. Like, we should be playing basketball. But it kind of started to spark the interest because I hated getting beat up by them. I said, so obviously something is working for them. So, but it really still didn't take off or really interest me until probably junior high. I had a gym teacher who told me, if you want to be great, you got to lift weights. I said, you know what? I'll try it. So, began lifting weights, and I think it was going into freshman year of high school. I stayed in the house. I did push-ups, sit-ups. I watched a Herschel Walker, I think it was, documentary.
Oh, man, my dad would love it. We used to talk about that, the Herschel Walker workout. Yes. Remember, Spence?
Yeah, of course.
And tried to just do that to a T. I ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, drank milk. I really just was like, I'm going to be physically fit now. And so when I left from eighth grade, going to ninth grade, I was 185 pounds, but I think I was pretty solid.
Wow.
And it was just amazing from there. And then that's kind of when the interest of lifting kind of took off, because now I'm in high school, I'm playing JV, I'm playing varsity. And you just realize, wow, this stuff actually matters. And then obviously having the opportunity to go play in college, I found also that, you know, through injuries and not being able to play as much, I found that I liked it to lift more anyways. So my excitement went from being about football to being about in shape. So I would go to practice, do our team lift, and then go back to the gym at the rec center afterwards. Just crazy stuff. And even during that, I got certified, and it is really started to spark my interest. So then after COVID and everything went down, got into helping out with like the youth. So I've worked with kids as young as 7.
Nice.
And obviously I've also worked with the elderly as well. But right now, I'm working with primarily junior high kids through collegiate athletes. So that's kids that have never seen a weight. And then there's kids that are at the highest level of college football, which is, you know, Division I. So
what's your approach with the young kids? Like, what do you do? So yeah, like someone comes in that's older, you know, you can start showing them.
Yep.
All the different things. But what do you do with a kid? Do you same thing, but just at a lower level? Or how do you
do it? So that's one of the biggest myths, too, is that you treat children like little adults. But they're not, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, depending on the age, the first thing that I try to establish is play. Allowing them to have fun, have an objective, but not really. Because a lot of times at that age, up until puberty, really, any adaptation is going to be just neural. you know, just them being more coordinative and just like learning how their body works. So I'm not focused too much on, you know, like I see stuff on Instagram and stuff where they have an 8-year-old run with these resistant bands and speed, you know, and it's like, that's not necessary right now. The biggest thing is like for me, even at the junior high that I'm at right now, I have fifth grade, as young as fifth grade, as old as eighth grade. So the fifth graders and below, we focus more on like dodgeball and tag and different things like that, where it may not seem like a training, but it is, because it's encompassing a lot of modalities of movement. So their agility, their sprinting, their ability to react. And that's what I first established with someone that's very young. It's just their ability to just be able to be active and move. So,
well, they're like, but Coach Dante, we want arms like you.
Yeah. And it's funny because they'll say it and they'll try to, you know, and I tell them, you know, if you want the ability to put on muscle like this, you have to first know how to move the muscles that it requires. And
great.
If they can't, you know what I'm saying? And if they can't do a chin up, if they can't do some of the simplistic things, then really over time, me teaching them how to do a bicep curl is not going to do much for them.
Yeah.
So
then how do you progress then? Yeah. How do you progress then?
Yeah. So how about like starting, you know, like pull ups? Of course, you know, going back to when we were little, I mean, we were doing pull ups and we had a little machine. We had an old universal machine. That's what I started lifting on when I was like 8 years old. And so, you know, it's pretty simple. You know, you start pretty basic, you know, pushing, pull ups, and, you know, some leg exercises that my dad helped me do. And then ultimately we did free weights. And that's kind of what I've done with Trey to some degree. And yeah, he and we are probably more advanced than most people. But yeah, I mean, how would you kind of take that approach with the little kids who now they got some basic movements and they want to learn the basic resistance training stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even with like the high school that I'm working with now, for example, last year we were 2-7 and guys couldn't do 5 pull-ups. They couldn't do 10 push-ups. It was bad. And I'm not going to blame, you know, the school, but it was like the kids just wasn't exposed to that, like over time. So the first thing I did was the ones that could do pull-ups, they were able to then do them. But even the ones that couldn't, and now the athletes that I work with in the junior high and younger, the first thing we begin off with is being able to hang and just hang and be able to hold your body weight up there. Because if you can't hold yourself up there, you can't pull yourself up there.
Right.
And then once they learn how to hang, then we go into more of an active hang. So now we're engaging, you know, different muscles to keep them not just hanging, just, you know, willy nilly, but actually hanging with some stability to it. And I think for me and for others, we grew up on the monkey bars. And monkey bars are a segue to you being able to do a pull-up or a chin-up. Because you're holding yourself, and then you start to integrate the movement with it. So then that way, when you get to junior high and high school, all it is now is just a straight-up line. So, but kids nowadays don't do the monkey bars and the jungle gyms and stuff now, so.
That's an interesting point, because I'll tell you what, that's something, for whatever reason, Trey has always been into. And then, and then now he can, you know, he's 10 years old, and he can crank out tons of pull-ups and stuff.
Exactly.
And I've always kind of, you know, I always figured that. I'm like, oh man, he's playing on the monkey bars, but he's really working out. He doesn't even know it. Yeah.
So
one thing, you know, like I said, we started off like on the universal machine, and I don't even really remember when I really started like free weight type stuff. Things are, and so I'm a big fan, Spencer, I think, and I are big fans of, you know, kids / even the elderly or people who don't really know what they're doing to start with like these real basic machines. I'm all about fundamentals, but I think sports training has evolved. And I told you I was going to maybe make a joke about this. I like to think that you and I are like in the same age range. It turns out that might not be true because you just graduated in 2020 and I graduated in 2023 from Michigan State. So, yeesh. All right. but things have evolved and there's definitely more, I don't know what I would call it, Spencer, like dynamic training now, which seems really good. Like, but it also, it's almost a little out of my area of experience and expertise. So how to develop kids to that, because to me, that does potentially maybe increase risk of injury if you don't really do it right. You know, like get on a universal machine and doing some bench press. I don't think it's almost impossible to get hurt unless you don't warm up, but and try to like max out or something. So what, I don't know, what are your thoughts kind of balancing those two things and how to develop kids that way? I don't know.
I think, you know, for me and from anything I've ever read and anyone that I've ever learned from, it's the same thing. Whether you're 8 years old or 18 or beyond, if you have improper programming, injury is inevitable. So for me, I'm not going to, and any good coach should not progress a kid to a more dynamic movement, whether it's a hang clean, a snatch, even some plyometric stuff, until they've established fundamental the basics. And so, you know, like I said, I see stuff all the time where, you know, even like collegiate athletes doing a hang clean or a power clean and the form's terrible. Like they may be able to muscle through it and get it up. Same thing with like a youth athlete, but over time that improper form causes stress on areas that it shouldn't, and that will eventually lead to an injury. So it's just about proper programming. And that's the overarching theme of all of this. If you're training youth, you have to be able to demonstrate the movement properly for them. And then at the same time, have the progressions to get to that point, which is what CrossFit has taught me too, is like CrossFit gets this bad rep of having just poor movement. But in reality, it's bad coaching. It's not bad, you know, it's not bad movement. So having the progressions to certain things, whether it's a squat or it's an overhead squat or it's a pull up, whatever, whatever, these things matter, especially in the youth level. So,
Yeah, I mean, in middle school, I started doing tons and tons of push-ups kind of similarly. And then it wasn't until like later in middle school, early high school, where I got really into the free weights, I think, when I remember. So I think that's a good, is Trey doing dodgeball now? Should we get him into?
the thing is with Trey, I mean, he's kind of at a different level. I mean, you know, Dante remembers he just can do a lot of stuff, you know, and so what I do with Trey, because he's so strong, is I actually give him relatively heavy sort of free weights. And those are air quotes for most people are listening to this. They can't see us. But but I hold on to them because youth, like it's like the stability muscles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, maybe the people who have a PhD in like youth growth are going to think we're not saying the right terms. But you know, he can essentially do dumbbell bench press with really heavy dumbbells, but I'm holding them in place for him. And then, you know, he works with people like you, or he goes to something called ETS. Are you familiar with that in West Michigan?
I've heard of it.
Okay. And, you know, and they don't push him with the weight, you know, but they really push the form, the mechanics, and all that stuff. And so I kind of rely on them. And then I don't mind spotting him for like a little bit heavier because I know he needs a little bit of some of that stimulus. Like you said, it's neuromuscular. Yep. So like when I was little, I wasn't gaining mass until I went through puberty, which was really like when I was like 16 years old. I was probably, we're a little bit late bloomers, but I was pretty darn strong. Mm-hmm. But that was from like doing machine stuff where you don't even need a spotter necessarily. Or my dad would spot us for pull-ups. And so that's kind of what I do. And then let's see what else. I mean, yeah, they do body weight stuff. He can, I have all the little kids that are on his like football team do real basic like trap bar deadlifts so that I can really sort of see their form. And I never got into the cleans and stuff. And I saw you doing it that day with the high school kids. And I don't know if you can remember exactly, but our high school kids probably didn't really know what they were doing. There were some guys who were kind of strong, and you did a great job at, you know, they were using a bar, which is like hardly any weight, and really critiquing their form, which of course is important for especially that type of lifting. It wasn't even just squatting where you can kind of say, okay, nice, good, square, you know, get level, whatever, keep your head up, all that stuff. So there's definitely like the spectrum of machines to the basic resistance training form to then really that dynamic sports stuff. So do you ever use machines to kind of get people started to get strong or not? Or is that kind of... We don't do that. I don't know.
Like no, I mean, definitely. And so in patients, not patients, but in clients, I have that are older, I will definitely use more machine-based activities because it allows them to not have to worry so much about stabilizing. And as you get older, there's a few things that decline very rapidly if they're not used, which is your power and your ability to be stable. So me having a grandma or grandpa do a dumbbell bench press and they haven't worked rotator cuff muscles or chest muscles in decades, I'm setting them up for a tear, of some yeah. sort. So getting them on a machine where it eliminates some of that ability to have to stabilize definitely helps them. I will use machine work for like higher reps, because if you fail on a machine, you're safe, as opposed to me yeah. failing on a back squat that I'm just, you know, barbell back squat or bench press. You fail on those, you're going to get hurt. Yeah. So I use those for clients that are looking for a hypertrophy goal primarily, because the only focus now is just getting it done, and they can go to a failure stimulus, or for people that have not trained in a while that may not be able to do even their own body weight. Now the machine as an external stimulus that they can still gain muscle, but in a safe way.
Yeah. That's exactly what I, how
that's
I see
pretty
it.
Much what, that's one of the arguments I'll make during, because I'm doing this debate on aerobic versus resistance training for fat loss and obesity management. And one of the issues is like barrier to entry. And it's like, these movements are complex. If people have never done a squat or deadlift, and you know, even a bench press, it's kind of like throwing people and just like, all right, go do it without a trainer or coach. It's kind of scary. So machines yeah. can basically help put them into the plane of motion and and make sure that it doesn't fall in their face or they fall over. So I think that's a good that's a good practical.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, anybody can do a lightweight machine if they, you know, if they do it and follow directions and do it right. And that's another argument, right. even for the little kids and the elderly, is that, you know, it's lighter than body weight exercises. You know, mm-hmm. people get scared of weights because they think it's heavy, but it doesn't have to be heavy. Machine weights, even you know, free weights can be a lot lighter than body weight, and you got to start somewhere, mm-hmm. right? So that's an argument I make all the time. So that's great. I often tell most of my patients, of course, they're not like young people trying to train for sports, and mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get them in the weight room, and I describe the Planet Fitness circuit. You know what I mean? All right. You do a pushing, and then you do a pulling, and then the legs, and then we go around. And I'm like, you can get a great workout that way, and it's good for your mm-hmm. health especially. So that's awesome.
Cool. Any other practical tidbits for, you know, I'm going to name this podcast Cradle to Grave Working Out with Dante.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a lot of experience across the spectrum of patients. But any tidbits as you go from youth to like, you know, high school, college, and then weekend warriors in adulthood. It sounds like the principles all kind of remain the same. You start off with movement patterns and then progress from there.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, if we're looking at dealing with athletes, the first step is to play. Like if you want your child, or you want to develop a great athlete from a youth level all the way up through college and even to the professional ranks, the one thing that you also want to try to avoid is burnout. And burnout happens when you're exposed to the same stimulus, in my opinion, without any reasoning behind it. So I know I had friends who played basketball, AAU, traveled, the whole nine, and not really realizing that they're, and maybe the parents even know this, but like, they were doing these every weekend tournaments, this, and not realizing that it was to prep them for college. Now, were they always necessary? No, but it's the same thing that entails with lifting, is that when you start off a child lifting, it has to be fun. It has to be engaging, and it has to still entail the modalities that they'll use eventually down the road. Now, after they hit an age where they've started to mature, that's when you can start kind of focusing in more on specific tasks. So like maybe endurance first, or hypertrophy, and then strength, and then power. And power typically is like the last stage, like when you get to like 11th grade and beyond. And maybe some freshmen are ready. It just depends on how you've laid the foundation early on. But once you get to those, people always think, okay, I'm going to do power cleans now and snatches. It's like, no, those exercises have variations that are safer. Those exercises also are typically used by Olympic athletes that train for 6+ years to compete one time. So it's obviously not a movement you learn in a week and then you start applying it that next day. So I think that understanding that every exercise has a purpose, every movement has a variation that can help as young as pre puberty to beyond. I think that's the most important part. There's a progression that has to be followed. So
that's awesome. What we need is we need more guys like you, guys and gals and everyone, to help all of our patients. That's what we need desperately. Yeah. And we need it. We need some sort of better coverage for it too. That's an issue. Well, tell everyone, you know, because you do some other things on the side in addition to, you know, working at Central Michigan with your high school and stuff.
Yeah.
So tell people about what some of your other projects you're trying to get to so we can market for you a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, right now, the biggest thing for me is coaching. I mean, we have a playoff game tonight at 7. Huge. I mean, we were 2-7 last year. This year, 6-3. So right now, my focus has been just getting these kids ready physically and mentally.
They suiting you up?
I hope so. I mean, that's been my biggest thing right now is just helping these kids be ready. I think last year the issue was that we didn't have the confidence or the physical capabilities to like hang with these schools. The other things I'm working on is obviously helping the junior high athletes in the same district be prepared to take that next step next year. I mean, they're going to be in high school. So, I mean, if it starts now, they can definitely get a step ahead. And outside of that, really, I mean, I'm working on a few more certifications and my own personal training business that's online. Primarily, I deal with, you know, anywhere from the mom who just needs to just stay active to I have a power lifter who's trying to do a meet the next year. So like I'm just doing a bunch right now trying to help everybody out.
We gotta get you a youth cohort. And you get all those kids in there. That's big money, yeah. Right there. So thanks for coming on. It was
of course anytime.
It's good to promote lifting throughout life, and it sounds mm-hmm. like you do a great job at it. So thanks for coming on. Here's our outro.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll be right back.